This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny, and good afternoon over at my end over here.
Let's first reflect on what's happened over the last few days. We will talk about those US jobs figures in a moment or two from Friday, which were very interesting. But actually, over the weekend, we heard from OPEC Plus and their decision to increase productivity, but less than expected. And that has had an effect on the oil price today.
Yes, precisely. So what the OPEC Plus members or the cartel, they actually has an in-principle agreement on Sunday to actually further increase their production height by 137K barrels per day starting from October. But this 137K barrels per day has been a lower magnitude compared to the previous increase of 555K barrels per day in August and September, and the 411K barrels per day in June and July. So market view this as a short-term positive, given the fact that the production increase has been coming in at a smaller magnitude this time round, pushing up oil prices on the intraday close to 2%. So if you look at the, if you look at the West Texas crude oil, it's up by 1.8%, which is hovering at around $63.50 per barrel, and going down towards the other benchmark, which is the Brent crude over here. So Brent crude is actually up by 1.2%, hovering at around $66.80 per barrel. So overall, if you look at, yes, we may see just a kind of a spurt up in today's trading session. But overall, the bigger picture view for West Texas oil, and that's inclusive of Brent crude oil as well, that their medium-term trend is still more skewing towards the bearish side of the story. Why? Because they're still trading below the 200-day moving average since early August this year. And also bearing the fact that over here is that potentially we may start to see a much more lackluster U.S. labor market that has been deteriorating in the past several months. And if these numbers continues to deteriorate further, potentially it could create a negative feedback loop into oil prices as well.
And meanwhile, on Friday, Kelvin, we got the latest non-farm payroll numbers from the U.S. And those jobs numbers, I think it was 22,000, much lower than expected. That had an effect on the dollar, didn't it? How have markets reacted where you are today because of that?
Precisely. So let's look at the expectation being priced right now by the Fed Funds futures market based on the latest data as the CME Fed Watch 2. So we know that right now there's 100% chance, a probability that's being priced in by the Fed Funds futures market that the Fed got to cut interest rate on the 17th of September. But what's interesting over here is that there's actually right now a small chance of 10% that the Fed might do a bigger cut of a 50% basis point, but that's only a small number of 10%. But my, just a quick recap, this small chance of 10% was totally, what, virtually 0% before the release of the non-farm payroll data. And also with this rather weaker than expected non-farm payroll data that was released on Friday, and with that unemployment rate ticking up to 4.3%, so that's actually a high since October 2021, we now start to see in potential, we call it pricing, of three interest rate cuts that the Fed may do before 2025 ends. So market now is assigning another high chance of 89%, which is the Fed Funds futures market, that the Fed will bring forward the second 25 basis point cut on the 29th of October FOMC meeting this year. And what's interesting over here is that there could be a potential third cut before 2025 ends. That means on the 10th of December 2025 FOMC meeting, 80% chance that the Fed will lower for the third time this year, potentially to bring down the Fed funds rate to 3.5% to 3.75%. So that is a total of potentially 75 basis point cut by the Fed, which is also much lower than the 50 basis point cut being implied by the previous dot plot of median Federal Reserve officials' projection on where the Fed funds rate will be by 2025 ends during the last release in the June FOMC meeting. So what I could see over here is that there's a totally swing of the pendulum from a very neutrality stance in the Fed funds futures market to a rather dovish situation right now in the Fed funds futures market. So that potentially saw this ongoing dollar weakness that we start to see in even in today's Asia session as well, having that follow through on last Friday.
Also over the weekend, dramatic events in Japan. The prime minister there has resigned, and that has had an impact, hasn't it?
Yes, precisely. So let's talk about the impact on the Japanese stock market first. All right. So the Japanese stock market, by looking at the Nikkei 225 benchmark, actually reacted very positively, rallying close to about rallying by almost 2% during the Japanese cash trading session. And right now it's about less than 0.5% from the current all-time high that is being printed on 17th of August. So it's now fresh approaching to retest the current all-time high. Bullish tone remains intact from a technical perspective on Nikkei 225, but from a fundamental perspective over here is that the current two leading contenders within the LDP party is likely to be more liberal in terms of number one, reforms, and secondly, also in favor of much more physical stimulus to address potential uncertainty or economic drag due to the higher tariffs that are being imposed by the U.S. White House administration on Japanese exports heading to U.S. So that actually created a positive feedback loop into the Japanese stock market in anticipation of such, we call it more liberal physical stimulus policy that may be ignited by that two leading contenders as they vow for the leadership of the LDP that is likely to be put to the vote among its members in October this year. And what's interesting is on the yen side of the story, which is the FX story. So what we could see over here is that because of these two leading contenders, and one of them also advocate for a much more relaxed monetary policy stance in Japan. And bear in mind that since 2 years ago, Bank of Japan has been on the path of gradually removing off extreme easing monetary policy in Japan as they actually go back to interest rate to a positive territory, away from a negative territory over here. So with this leading contender coming into play, they may start to jawbone Bank of Japan, putting a bit of pressure on their gradual interest rate hike policy. So initially at the start of today's Asia session, the yen actually weakened quite dramatically against the dollar by negative 0.7%. But what's interesting over here is that as we are speaking right now, all this yen weakness at the start of today's Asia session has been totally eradicated. So market now is also looking at a relative perspective where potentially the emphasis has been paying more on the upcoming dovish Fed pivot by the Fed that could cap any potential yen weakness due to a localized factor surrounding the uncertainty of the next prime minister fiscal policy stance.
So that's things where we stand at the moment, Kelvin. What about the week ahead?
Sure. So the week ahead will definitely centered on three important events that the things to look out for over here. So the first particular situation will be on the inflationary trend in the US, which is very important. So right now on Wednesday, which is at 8:30 p.m. Singapore time, we have the release of producer price index, which is indirectly a proxy of cost of doing business in the US, and followed by that all-important core CPI data for the US that is out on the following day on Thursday. at 8:30 p.m. Singapore time. So for the core inflation rate year-on-year basis, previously the previous print was at 3.1% year-on-year. So right now, market is kind of looking at almost the same pace of increase at 3.1%. So however, if it starts to increase much at a higher pace, let's say around 3.3% or 3.5%, that could potentially dial back the dovish expectation that is being priced in right now in the Fed Fund futures market, and we may see a bit of a mean reversion rebound in the US dollar. And also on top of that, on the same day, which is on Thursday, 11th of September, we also have ECB interest rate decision, that is the central bank of Eurozone. So for ECB, market participants is expecting them to remain on hold for the second consecutive we call it meeting at 2.15%. And market will be hearing very closely to the speeches of ECB, the speech, the post decision, monetary policy decision, ECB's speech by ECB President Lagarde, showing any firmer signs that ECB is now at the tail end of its interest rate cut cycle. Because bearing in mind, in the last 1 or 2 weeks or so, there are several ECB officials that represent express confidence that whatever monetary policy easing done by ECB in the last 1 year has almost come to its due course. Its impact has really been seen in several key economic data in the Eurozone, such as we start to see a pickup in PMI data over here, and the inflation trend in the ECB also starts to actually normalize. Yes, it's not picking up, but it starts to normalize at a very constant pace, what ECB wants. So potentially, if that were to materialize, we have much more firmer guidance from ECB stating that they're actually indeed at the tail end of the interest rate cut cycle, and over here is more like a wait and see stance. That means they're going to pause for a period of time. That could actually benefit the euro dollar. So bear in mind, the euro dollar has cleared above this psychological level of 1.17 figure during the release of the November payroll data on last Friday. So with much more, we call it a clearer stance from ECB stating that they is more likely to do a long pause from now onwards, that could potentially add upside pressure on the euro dollar going forward, at least from a short-term perspective. And also one more particular event to look out for is towards the end of this week, which is this coming Friday. We have the another tier one leading US economic data that could potentially has a gauge on the demand side of the US economy, which is the University of Michigan consumer sentiment flash data for the month of September. So market expecting is only a slight improvement to 59.2 from 58.2 printed in the previous month of August. So let's say if this data came in much lower than expected, means below 59, and even potentially lower than the previous previous August print of 58.2, that could actually continue to see much more emphasis that's going to be placed in anticipation, pardon me, of the imminent Fed dovish pivot that's going to take shape in the next two weeks of this month.
Very interesting. Excellent. Thank you very much, Kelvin. We'll speak to you again this time next week.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.